You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Your voice.
Your station. Let's walk the talk.
702.
702.
It is the Clement Magnatella Show, 10:35 now here on 702. Now, I mentioned earlier on that an estimated 27 million tons of grain, e.g. sunflower and soya, stuck in the Ukraine, with up to 4 million tons sitting in terminals and on ships stranded in ports. And the question that I asked you, and you can, of course, give us a call on 011-883-0702 or send us a voice note, 072-702-1702 or SMS 31702. What are those products that you're beginning to see becoming scarce on our shelves, be it oil-based products, be it health products, maybe some soaps as well? What are those things that you'd normally buy that you're beginning to see scarcity of on our shelves? But not only that, where you've seen a significant jump in the price of that particular product. Give us a call or any questions as well around this question of producer price inflation. Tulani Mandiriza, principal economist at the Competition Commission, joining us now on the line. Tulani, good morning, and thank you very much for your time and for joining us today here on the Clement Magnatella Show. When you take a look at the outlook for the domestic producer prices, what are you seeing? What picture is being painted there?
Thanks, Thabo, and good morning to the listeners. So I think, the factors that we are currently facing, I think, in the global world, I think, issues around oil price, fluctuations. We have exchange rate volatility, severe weather, events globally, and also, the Russia-Ukraine war. So if you look at all those factors collectively, the outlook really looks a bit, it's a bit of a concern because, South Africa is to some extent a net importer of some of these foodstuffs, like wheat and oil, which as an example. So I think we do expect to see some movement in terms of prices, in the near term. But I think what is important, I think, from a South African context is to see this, to the extent to which these factors influence the final product. Because what we would want our producers and our retailers is to be able to justify, all these price increases, so that at least there is no opportunistic behavior, that can cope in like we have seen, during the, initial phases of COVID. So I think the outlook, is not promising, but at least, retailers and wholesalers should be able to justify some of that. So I think in general, that's the outlook. And I think you mentioned something around which foodstuff. So if you look at wheat as an example, South Africa, we consume 42%, of imported wheat, right? So, and the 27 million tons that you referred to earlier on, it paints a picture that I think, we do expect, I think, wheat prices and the products that are, produced from wheat to at least escalate. But I think the point still remains that even despite all these other external factors, we would expect retailers and wholesalers to at least to be able to justify and not take, some kind of opportunistic behavior during this period of time.
Yeah, some of the large food manufacturers, Tulani, while you're there, are saying that they are facing, as I mentioned, the scarcity or bottlenecks in supply chain with that food being stuck there. But also, they are facing higher input costs. Is that justification enough?
Yes, I think we wouldn't run away from that. That justification, to some extent, is correct. I think that's how the economy would work. I think, if you test increasing input costs, I think you have to adjust your prices accordingly. But I think for us, the main issue is to what extent do you increase those costs? Do you pass through those costs? Because we have seen during COVID, for instance, the initial phase, I think March 2020, where we saw there was an escalation in the margins that the retailers were making for that 1 month before we started undertaking this investigation. So there was a sudden drop in those margins to levels that were, you know, pre-COVID time. So even though we do accept that there are, you know, external factors, you know, global supply chains, we understand we are also tracking that. We also understand fuel costs and the transport costs, the weakening of the rand. We do understand all those factors. But I think the question that we always put is, the extent to which you increase this pay should be justified by your input cost. So let's say, for instance, your overall input cost increased by, let's say, 10% or 15%. It doesn't justify you increasing your price by more than that, right? So I think that's where our focus, I think, as a Competition Commission really is. But the factors we do understand, but I think we also worried about, you know, some kind of opportunistic behavior, which we have seen, I think, during the initial phases of COVID.
So, I mean, it's something that some people are making a joke out of, but it's actually quite serious. The cost of buying a litre of a bottle of cooking oil has increased quite significantly. I think in Johannesburg, they're saying it has increased by 20% from February to April, and it jumped by 30% if you are in Durban for the same period. Is that I wouldn't say it's a normal occurrence because we're not living in a normal time, but even with considering the various factors, would you say that is an alarming jump that would normally not be something that we would see?
Yeah, so maybe let me start giving you some kind of statistics. So in oil fields, for instance, I think South Africa in general imports, you know, between 36 to 41%, of the oil seeds, right? That is, you know, that is used to make to make the cooking oil. So I think you can see there, that we have a significant portion of imported inflation, which means if the rand is weaker during that period, we still do get some form of imported inflation. And with the global, supply chain restrictions and the war in Russia, because Russia, I think they do, Russia and Ukraine in terms of wheat and oil, you're talking about significant producers here. So I think there is that shortage. And when there is a shortage in the global market, there is increased prices, prices generally increase because of the shortage, right? So the 20% that you are referring to, or 30% increase in a month-to-month basis, I think that's alarming. There could be some reasons to justify that, but I think what we need to understand is the full impact of all these factors to a manufacturer, and just compare that to the price hike, right? So in an abstract way, you can't say it without looking at it, so you can't say that, it's justified or not. But I think what we have seen, which concerns us, I think maybe as the commission, and I think some of the, big food manufacturers have said, is that when there is a price increase, right, wholesalers, manufacturers and retailers, they are quick to increase the price, right? But when there is favorable outcomes in terms of the global supply chain, prices generally take long to decline, right? Which we'd expect. So I think there is that concern that we still have about the price stickiness going downwards because manufacturers, because I think the way we understand this is that most of these manufacturers get into contracts. Supply contract, maybe you get them on 3 months, period, and the prices have not escalated during that period of time. So we wouldn't really expect prices to immediately go up because you got into some kind of a contract for the supply of the input that you require. So So I think you know, to answer maybe your question more directly, you know, we wouldn't, without understanding the cost drivers in each of these manufacturers, but I think still we are still concerned about, you know, the pass through that happens, you know, during crisis times like this.
Okay. A quick question then for you here, Tulani, coming from our WhatsApp line, 0727021702. By the way, you can also give us a shout on 011-883-0702. We've got the Competition Commission with us here. And maybe you want to also flag certain products that could possibly not be in their purview right now that you want them to look at. They're currently stuck on the cost of fats and oils and the impact of that on prices of particular products here in the country. And maybe you've seen some in the shelves that you believe have jumped quite significantly and you want to alert them on that, or you've got questions around that, give us a call. Or you've seen particular products that have begun to disappear. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about how the scarcity of products also affects what is being paid there at the till. But this question says, Tulani, please ask your guests, how is it possible to buy 1 ton of diesel for $350, i.e. 1,150 liters, equaling 409, before it's offloaded into South Africa?
I think that's a very tricky question. Because I think the oil sector in general, I think the fuel industry in South Africa is regulated. I think we have the department, looking into that. Yeah, but I think the you know, what we know for a fact is that I think there are maybe two main drivers for fuel prices. You know, one of it is it's the exchange rate, you know, which, you know, because we import crude largely, because we don't have enough refinery capacity in South Africa. So exchange rate, it plays a big important role. And then you also have taxes, you know, that are, you know, so I think those are the main factors. And I think, you know, it's something that I think we understand National Treasury and the Department of Energy. You have made a pronouncement a couple of months back. We don't know what's going to happen, I think, with the impending fuel increases. But I think it's something that we also study and understand. But I think it's in the domain of Treasury and Department of Energy.
In terms of competition and the regulation of prices, do you factor in the energy prices, right? For example, the fact that petrol is going up at midnight. And do you also factor in the reprieve that we are given by Treasury, and to say, well, manufacturers or retailers, therefore, you need to factor in these particular aspects in as far as the increases that you bring onto the commodities?
Yes, Tom. I think we look at all those input costs, right? So the only a difficulty, you know, in this period is that there were so many moving parts, right? So even the respite that we got from Treasury on the fuel levy, you could not see the full impact or the full benefit of it in the economy. It's because, you know, during that period, you know, the rand was weakening, yet global supply chain issues as well, but we do factor in all of those costs, for us to understand exactly what's going on. We do that.
And then, are you worried about the gap between the increase in manufactured food prices and consumer food costs? And was in a conversation at any point within the Competition Commission as to we would need to maybe close that gap?
Yes, I think, yeah, thanks for that. At least it gives us an opportunity to clarify. So what we do is we in terms of our research, we look at the producer price index, which is generally the manufacturer, the price that manufacturers produce this product. Then we also look at the retail price. So the difference between those two, you know, that's the margin, you know, that we focus on, because, you know, if a manufacturer faces high input costs, and the retailer, you know, passes through to the retailer, we normally look at those margins. But if under normal circumstances, you would expect, you know, the margins to remain the same. Let's say, I can use the example of pre-COVID, if the margins were 10%, you know, you would expect that, you know, the margins generally remain the same, right? But what we get worried about, I think in March 2020 when COVID started, was that during that month of March, the margins increased, you know, let's say maybe to 15 or 20%, which was not justified by cost, which in our view was opportunistic behavior. But when the investigation started, you know, the margins fall into that. So we look at that, and I think that for us is an important variable for us to track at what level of the value chain is, you know, price escalating, you know, to levels that are not justified. So if the margins really remain static over a period of time, despite all these challenges that we face in the global world, at least we would be comfortable. So at least we do track that, and I think it's an important consideration, you know, for us. One thing that maybe I should have mentioned, I think, when asked about some of the food items that we are worried about.
I was coming back to that. I mean, last time you were looking at pineapple, potatoes, I think it's ginger during the time of COVID-19. Now it's reported, in fact, that the fats and the oils could spread as wide as even some health products.
Yes, because it is an important, the way we understand it, is an important, you know, a variable or ingredient or an input to most of the production processes, which may include maybe some of the pharmaceutical stuff like you mentioned. So you know, during COVID, of course, we had a focus on some of the, you know, fruit and veg, you know, that were essential, you know, to lessen the impact of COVID. But now the Commission has launched a market inquiry into fresh produce. So I think a lot of things are going to be investigated in that context. For purposes of just monitoring foodstuffs, I think we would be maybe focusing on, you know, issues like grain and, you know, beef, chicken, you know, milk, and to some extent some fruit. So I think the first and all, I think it was just one of the things that were alarming. But of course there are to some extent some reasons for that, because we, like I said before, we import almost, between 36% to 41% of the oil seed, right? So at least like exports there to the international market there. So we expect some increase there. I think that's why I think the first and oil is I think the exposure is bigger. So our import exposure for first and oil is within that range, 36% to 41%. For wheat, it's actually even worse. We are talking about 50% import exposure. Chicken, we are talking about 37% exposure, due to imports. So those are some of the things that we are looking at. But I think, like I said, Tabo, I think the issue for us, you know, despite all these reasons that can be advanced, that can be explained in terms of the economics, the reason is that, you know, manufacturers and retailers shouldn't, you know, be opportunistic and go beyond the margins that they were charging before. Yeah, so I think that's the main thing that we're really focusing on.
Does scarcity affect prices, and can it be a self-induced scarcity? So, for example, a manufacturer, because they are already anticipating bottlenecks at ports, create scarcity on the market, which of course then in turn affects the retailers as well, and that in turn affecting the consumer having to pay more. And how do you address that kind of a situation?
Yeah, it's, I think it's unlikely that, you know, a manufacturer would, you know, withhold, you know, some supply, because I also remember these are fast consumer moving goods. So you would typically expect, you know, the margins to be relatively lower, and they have to drive volumes, you know, so it's not something that you would typically expect, but what could potentially happen, you know, just from the economics, is somebody can just delay, right? So you get your input, you process them, because you know for a fact that you know there's going to be price increases in the future. Then you just withhold, you know, the supply, waiting for you know for price to escalate. So and then you release that into the market. But what we have been cautioning, I think, is that if you get your inputs in May, you know, and you have signed a contract, let's say you signed a contract from March, April, and May, 3 months in advance, and you have a certain price that you have paid, you know, so you shouldn't be influenced by what is likely to happen in June, right? So your prices should be determined by the actual input cost that you have faced as a manufacturer, rather than anticipating, you know, price increases into the future. Then you try and factor that in. Right? So I think we would have a concern that, because when we look at the actual input cost that you have faced as a manufacturer, we are going to see that your margins have actually gone up, right? Which is something that we get concerned about. So you should just price based on the actual input cost, not the anticipated, you know, price. You know, let's say you expect it to be 300, you know, additional per ton of oil seed. Then you start factoring that in when you've actually not incurred those particular costs. So I think we won't be concerned about that. And I think it's something that we have been communicating with the major, you know, manufacturers, major producers, especially during COVID, where they would at least give us some justification for some of those price increases. Yeah, but it is a real concern, and I think you know, we just hope that the global supply chain would open up so that we don't have this kind of opportunistic behavior that might come through.
Tulane Mandiriza, I appreciate you. Thank you very much for coming on. Principal Economist, FPB Competition Commission.